you would speak through me today, and that if there are any words that are not of you, that they would fall on deaf ears. Be any words that are from you, that they will be like that stone in a shoe that we so often hear about, that every step we take this day, this week, we can think back to it. We thank you so much that you are here with us now. Open our ears and open our hearts to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Debbie, for that reading. I think a very timely word from Pastor at the back as we're looking at the verses that we're reading through today. Thank you so much for Dre. Where's he gone? Dre, for bringing the word last week, and how timely that was. That was for the life group going through Romans 6. A few weeks back, you may remember Tony gave us a bit of a recap of the previous chapter in chapter 16, and I made purposely and left out that last verse in 16 and gave Tony a bit of a hospital pass there for him to explain the deeper meaning behind that tricky verse sometimes. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, you may have had a keen ear and actually realized that Tony didn't actually explain what that verse was. And so I'm going to throw T another hospital pass, and when he brings the word next time, he can explain that verse again. So where are we though? We're in Matthew 17, and we heard a few weeks ago about the transfiguration, where Jesus took his close disciples up onto the mountain, and they heard from God, confirming the divinity of Jesus. And they heard that they need to hear him. Those are the words spoken. Hear him. And hearing is going to be a key part as we look through this text today. So let's look through it, opening up in verses 14 and 15. Let's set the scene. Jesus has just come down with his disciples from this incredible experience. You know, the disciples fell on their faces. Just try to imagine what it would have been like seeing that light, hearing the voice. In the first interaction that we see someone have with Jesus is this man kneeling, calling him Lord, and asking for mercy. Now, before I go any further into the text, I want us to pause here and ask ourselves, is that our heart posture when we come to Jesus every day? Like Luke said before, when you wake up in the morning, is this our first response to Christ? Kneeling before him, in awe of him. Or when we first come to Christ, first thing in the morning, we ask for things for us. And we maybe complain a bit to Christ. We need to be grateful and talk to him in the way that we should, of how holy he is. This man's son, we find out, is demon-possessed. And the Greek word here to describe his condition is selenizomai. Now that was a pretty poor way of saying that word. If you want to find the correct way to explain it, Usti is your guy probably. But this translates here to moonstruck. Now I had to do a little bit of research to what moonstruck actually is talking about, but it's pretty much crazy. This man was crazy, okay? But we get the word epileptic. Now I want to jump over to Mark 9. Just briefly, because this one verse in Mark chapter 9 helps us understand a bit more what was going on. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. That helps us get a bit more of a picture about what was going on with this boy. Now, I don't want us to think that every time we see today someone who has epilepsy, they are demon-possessed. That is not what this verse is telling us at all. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't have any medical experience. But from what I've looked into, there are many different causes for why someone has epilepsy. So I don't want you to think that every single time someone has epilepsy that they are demon-possessed. But this here is a case of it. Now, when I'm reading these words and falling into fire, this makes me think that this demon is trying to kill this boy.
trying to drown him, trying to put him in the fire so he is burned. Now, it's interesting that when I look to Revelation, I see imagery of this, and it helps me have this idea of death. And so we see that already the evilness, what the enemy is doing to this boy. In verse 16, we see that this man brought his son to the disciples, the followers of Jesus. But they couldn't cure him. They couldn't. So the question that I straight away go is, why couldn't they? Why not? Praise God that very soon, these few verses, we'll see the answer here from Jesus. But what this verse here makes me think of is, are we ready to cure people? Now, when I say that, I'm thinking of the ultimate cure that all humans have, this condition of sin in our hearts. Now, right here, the disciples, they couldn't cure this boy in the way that he needed to be cured. But for us here who call ourselves followers of Christ, we're his disciples. Are we ready to give people that cure of the gospel in our workplace? When we hear people talking about their sadness and their lack of hope and all the terrible things going on in this world, do you sit by and just listen? Or are you thinking, hold on, this person has a problem and I have the solution? Now, I want to step into evangelist cam here really quick and help you understand the importance of when we're talking about cures, because people that aren't saved, most of them don't even know they're sick. They don't even know that they need a cure because they are so content with everything that they have in this world that if you went to someone and just told them, hey, Jesus loves you, you should believe in God, most people here, especially in New Zealand, are going to say, well, I don't need God. I've got my house. I've got my boat. I've got my motorbike. Now, nothing against motorbikes. But we need to explain to people their condition. Otherwise, when you tell them their gospel, they're not going to care. We need to explain to people, hey, you've sinned against a holy God. This is the consequences of that sin. And when they understand that, then they are ready to hear the cure, which we know is the gospel of Christ and what he's done. Even more than that, if you're not even ready to give them the cure right then, are you in this mindset of thinking, I can just bring them into church and let Tony have the conversation with them, or let Andre or Cam or Sandra? Hear me now. If you think that you meet someone on the street and just bring them into the church, everything's going to be okay, that's not what the Bible tells us to do. We are the followers of Christ. We are his disciples. God has equipped us to do his work. But I think some of us might be scared. We may have a false understanding of who we are. We're so stuck in our sin that we can't even see the full picture. We need to understand that we have the power through God to witness for him. Verse 17, this man brought his son to Jesus and tells him that his disciples couldn't cure him. Now, this is a smart man going straight to Jesus. That's a smart thing to do. Do we do that? Do we go straight to Jesus when we have problems in our life? I find it very easy to talk to other people about all the problems I have. I got convicted reading this. I need to go to Jesus straight away when I have these problems. Now, I think this failure here, though, for the disciples, the fact that they couldn't cure him, is actually a good thing. Failure helps us learn. Failure helps us grow. And we see that in the disciples. But here, Jesus calls them faithless and perverse. Now, Jesus is actually quoting from Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, where it says, "They have corrupted themselves, they are not his children, because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation." This is Moses here speaking to the future Israel. And when we read the Bible, we can see how Israel very clearly played this out in their relationship to God. So we see back, let's take a step back to Moses. Led the people out of Egypt, goes up to the mountain, talks to God. Jesus goes up to the mountain, transfiguration. Moses comes down, what are the people doing? Lack of faith. Jesus comes down from the mountain, sees his disciples, lack of faith. The similarities are there. We see here the key thing, unbelief. That is the key thing here. And it's amazing to see this picture and reminding ourselves throughout the whole Bible, it all points to Christ. We need to look back and we can learn from them. And that's why I think Jesus said this verse for the disciples to think back to Moses and help remind them of how we need to have faith in God, faith in Christ. In verse 18, Jesus heals this child. And right here we see the picture of grace. How gracious is Jesus to heal this boy? This man didn't try to bribe Jesus. He didn't pay him. And this is what we often see in our culture today from non-believers. They will go to so many lengths to try and fix their problems. They will pay counselors, therapists, voodoo, witch doctors, all these crazy things. But we all know that that is vanity. The only cure is Christ. And this gives us this picture of our condition against God, and our only cure for our sin is the grace found in the cross of what Jesus did. Every time I read these verses and these stories of Jesus healing, doing miracles, it reminds me of his grace. We need to be reminded of that. We need to see that right here and remind ourselves. And then in verse 19, we go back to the question of why. Why could the disciples not cast out this demon? Why could they not cure him? And put yourselves in the disciples' shoes for a second. Now, I'm not 100% sure if the disciples that couldn't cure this boy are the same disciples that went up on the mountain. But nevertheless, we can look back through the gospel so far and seen what and hear what these disciples have witnessed, what Jesus has done in front of them. And here they are, not being able to cure this boy. They may have been frustrated, they may have been confused, shocked. Maybe you've been in that place before where there's been something in front of you that someone's asked for prayer for. Or maybe you've prayed for something and it hasn't come to pass. I want you to ask yourself, what was your heart posture in that moment? Were you frustrated with God because he didn't answer your prayer? I hope not. Because every time you sin, God doesn't kill you. Think about that. Wages of sin is death. Far out. I probably sin over 100 times a day. But here I am, asking God for something, and getting frustrated when he doesn't do it. That's silly. I got to lock in. In verse 20, Jesus gives us the answer. Jesus makes it clear that they couldn't cure this boy because of unbelief. And the Greek word here is oligopistos. Now, this is a combination from oligo, which means low in number or little in quantity, and pistos, the word for faith. Little faith. The disciples couldn't cure this boy because of their little faith. And when Jesus here says mustard seed, they, the disciples, being Jews, knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. This was a common thing for the rabbis to describe something so small as a mustard seed. But then Jesus gives them this seemingly impossible task to move a mountain. That's what will happen. So I'm confused now because he's talking about little in faith. So maybe my faith can become greater if it's small. But then we have this impossible task that doesn't matter how big your faith is, it's impossible. So the picture becomes clear. It's not about how big your faith is, it's who your faith is in. Now, we've probably all heard that many, many times. But is that true for us? How often can we sit here in church and hear these common phrases, but we're so routine in them that it just goes past us like that? Now, this word here, for unbelief, we actually see it quite a few times looking back throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, when Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, talking about worrying, he says in verse 30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" And in chapter 8, verse 26, when he calms the sea and the wind, verse 26 says, "But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." In Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, when talking to Peter after he has just walked on the water, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I brought up these verses to help us see the big picture of what Jesus has been trying to say to his disciples, say to us. Jesus repeatedly calls them out on their little faith, their unbelief. But when we read on throughout the Gospel of Matthew and the other Gospels, we see a change in the disciples. We see them do marvelous things. What was that change? What changed for them to go from little faith to then starting the church? They saw the risen Christ. They understood all these things that Jesus had been talking about. Has there been a change in your life since following Christ? Or have you become stagnant? Can you look back and see growth? Not because of anything you've done by your power, but through you being obedient to Christ and wanting to become more like Him. Has that been your prayer? If God answered all of your prayers that you've been praying over the last week, would you change or would your circumstances change? Would you change or would your circumstances change because of your prayers? Speaking of change, we can look at this boy and the healing in him And for us believers in our life, we're continually being renewed day by day, this process of sanctification, being set apart, becoming more like Christ. But there might be things that we've been praying for so long, and we haven't seen change. It might be addiction. It might be habits that we have. These sins that we feel like a change in our life that are stopping us from stepping into what God might be calling us into. Why aren't they changing? Why not? Have you actually asked yourself that question? The tough question. And I think when you find and look into it, it will come back to unbelief. There is something in you that may not believe fully who you are in Christ, or may not fully believe something about God and what He's done for you. And the solution to that problem is found right here in this text. We see the disciples fail because of their unbelief. And how is this boy cured? How is he healed? He is brought to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His Father kneeling and asking for mercy. And the same is true for us. Now, if you're in this room and you aren't a follower in Christ, the same is true for you in a sense of you can be forgiven for your sin and receive God's grace through what He did on the cross, where He paid the fine for your sin. And the same is true for us who have put our faith in Christ, and there are still things that we are wrestling with. But we must go to Jesus, directly to Him. I see this in my life. There were these things that I thought, I've tried everything. I've tried everything. I've tried to put things to stop me from doing it, physical things of accountability. But I had to take a step back and have someone ask me the hard question for me to realize I didn't fully believe who I was in Christ. I didn't fully believe that God loved me. And there was a part of me that was suppressing that, because it's easy to be in that spot of sin. It's the easier option. But I had to really press into God and go to Jesus directly. You could be in counseling for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. But unless you fully go to Christ and submit to Him and surrender to Him, there's not going to be a change. You can have the greatest people around you, but if you don't go directly to Christ, there's not going to be a change. Our hope is in Christ alone. I love that song. In Christ alone, my hope is found. We must remember, for us, the greatest way He has healed us from our sinful hearts. We see that picture right here with this boy. And in the last verse, verse 21, Jesus gives us instruction for when we are dealing with these serious spiritual battles. Specifically here with casting out demons. Now, I have never casted out a demon, but I've been given the blueprint here from where it comes. Now, I had to really challenge myself this week. Do I believe that? Do I believe I'm capable of doing that? Have I been empowered by Christ to do that? Yes and amen. Because it's the Word of God. But even more than that, for these other serious things that are going on in our life, these addictions, these sins, This can help us. Prayer and fasting shows dependence on God. Now, as Tony loves to say, the Bible doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast, when you pray. We need to be dependent on Him. The bottom line is this. We must have faith in Christ, fully in Him, not in ourselves, not in the things of this world, not in our washing machine, but in Christ. No matter what our circumstances are, faith in Him. Now, how do we help ourselves in this moment when we have unbelief, when we have little faith? What can we do? Well, in Romans, it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is your faith reflected by how much time you're in the Word? It might be a hard thing to hear for some of us. It might be a reassuring thing for some of us. It might be convicting. But guess what? Has anybody here memorized the whole entire Bible? No. There's always more time for us to spend in God's Word. Now, I would love for you to come after the service and try and have a conversation with me and convince me that you are spending enough time in God's Word. Don't know if you'd win that one. But this is how we can have this faith. By reading God's Word. Memorizing God's Word. Think back to a couple months ago where young Scarlett came up here and gave us an entire psalm. Psalm 91, if I'm not mistaken. That was convicting for me. To see that faith shown in her at such a young age, to memorize that entire psalm. How much time are you spending throughout your week to try and memorize God's Word? But you may say, Cam, it's not important. Well, it is. Because when you surround your mind up here with so much of the truth, when the enemy tries to give you lies, it's easy to see them. But if your head is so full of the world, it's going to be easy to be like these disciples, to have this little faith. Our goal here on this earth should be to know God as much as we can, and then to make Him known to other people as much as we can. And how can we start to know God but to be in His Word? So this is me not just challenging you, but challenging myself to reflect on how much time I'm spending in God's Word each day, because that is going to help our unbelief when we fill ourselves with the truth. Praise God for His faithfulness to heal this demon-possessed boy. Praise God for His faithfulness to heal us from our sinful hearts. For those who trust in Him. And if you haven't taken that step, He is faithful to heal you too. Praise God. But you must come to Him. He stands at the door knocking. The handle's not on the outside, the handle's on the inside. All of us here, sitting here today, we are not glorified yet. We are not complete yet. There is still more for us to do. There is still more for us to step into. But we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. Is there something that I don't fully believe? We have to find that root. What's the motivation behind it? We have to sharpen each other. Sister to sister, brother to brother. Keep each other accountable. Ask the hard questions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we have to come to Christ. And this man in this text has given us such an amazing example of that. Now, as the band comes up, we're going to be singing Before the Throne of God Above. I must confess, it's become my favorite song because of how rich the lyrics are. And as we sing this song together, I want you to be thinking about where you are at with Christ. And what is that next step that he has for you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And I pray today that any words that are not of you, any words of me, will be on those deaf ears, that we will not hear them. But the words that are from you, Lord, help us dwell in them and reflect throughout the rest of this day and throughout this week. Heavenly Father, I pray for anybody here that hasn't put their faith and trust in you. You can continue to draw them near, speak to them. And for us who are your sons and daughters, and our names are written in the book of life, help us to humble ourselves and come to you in repentance and reveal to us more how we can glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.